I've been enjoying this study. I don't like to read a lot of material because it seems to be very boring. So I try to paraphrase some things. And sometimes I can't always paraphrase it all because Brother Jeremiah has quite a way with words. I've been enjoying his introductions, by the way. I like his introductions to the material. So as I said before, we have only two topics left. Today is failure, next Sunday's jealousy. Slaying the giant of failure. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, ask you, Lord, to hide me behind the cross. Help me to share this in a way that it would be simple, that everybody can understand and be able to get nourishment from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I let the little ones go back to junior church? Junior church. Here we go. There's a world of difference between you're a failure or that you failed. The first one speaks to our character, and the second one speaks to a specific event in life. Just because we fail one or many times, it doesn't mean that we've been disqualified from the race to succeed. You'd be amazing at how many times people failed till they finally succeeded. I was amazed. We'll get at this. You'll see with me. It's one thing when you and I've experienced a failure in our private lives. Our failure is known only to a small circle of friends and family. It's quite totally different thing when you're a most important political leader in the world. And your every move is reported live by the news media around the world. Such was the case with the late President George H.W. Bush when he became ill, and I don't want to use that word, but he saw his meal twice. At a state dinner in Japan, yeah, that's what happened. I never heard that, but I heard it when I read it. It included the Prime Minister of Japan. Can you imagine what kind of a fancy meal that was? Probably doesn't qualify as a personal failure. We don't normally hold people responsible for illnesses they have no control over. But that's probably not how President George Bush felt. He probably felt himself a failure when his embarrassing moment in Japan took place. When he had laid down on the carpet in order to be attended by his personal physician, he said to his physician, "Just roll me under the table until dinner's over." That's about how I'd have felt. At least his failure didn't cloud his sense of humor. What we traditionally think as a failure happened in 1957 when the Ford Motor Company released to the public what it called the car of the decade. Do you remember that car? Boy, that was quick. That's exactly what it was. Do you remember what they look like? I do. I had that, like a big thing in the front. It was supposed to be the most dramatic advance in engineering and design since the invention of the automobile. Sadly, it turned out to be the biggest bomb in the history of the automotive industry. Put it mildly, it was a colossal failure. Ford's best efforts to succeed turned out to be the worst effort in the company's history. Wow. Life is filled with failure. Whether it be presidential, corporate, or personal, and the person who does not learn to manage failure will soon find himself buried under a mountain of disgrace and shame. But the one who learns to profit from failure will find himself climbing even higher mountains of accomplishment. So you see what the giant of failure means to trip you with can turn out to be a ticket to the future. But only if we understand failure from God's viewpoint. Facing the giant of failure is the first one we want to look at. In 1988, The United Technologies Corporation published an ad in the Wall Street Journal reminding us of our failures. The ad read this way. You failed many times, although you may not remember. You fell down the first time you tried to walk. You almost drowned the first time you tried to swim. Did you hit the ball the first time you swung a bat? Heavy hitters, the ones who hit the most home runs, also strike out a lot. R.H. Macy failed 7 times before his store in New York caught on. English novelist John Creasy got 733 rejection slips before he published 564 books. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times, but he also hit, anybody know how many home runs? Anybody have a guesstimate? No, no baseball players. 714. So a little bit more and he could have struck out twice as much as he made home runs. Well, you know. So don't worry about failure. Worry about the chances you miss when you don't even try. I said before, if you don't fail, you probably never did anything. The first thing every person needs to do is face not the possibility of failure, because you know that's going to happen, but the reality of it. It will happen sooner or later. So Paul introduced the likelihood of failure in his own life in an interesting way. He talked about the treasure we have in earthen vessels. So what does he mean? The treasure, you see, is the gospel. The earthen vessels is our frail, fragile human bodies. God has entrusted those priceless treasures of his gospel to be kept safe in the bodies of human beings. Imagine that. So what happens to human bodies? Well, they're hard-pressed, they're perplexed, they're persecuted, they're struck down but never totally defeated. They're never knocked out, we're knocked down continually in life. In other words, we fail a lot. The fact of failure is factored into our humanity. In a book titled The Incomplete Book of Failures, author Stephen Pyle lists some of the failures associated with people that you thought always did everything successfully. An expert said of famous football coach Vince Lombardi, he possesses minimal football knowledge and lacks motivation. Beethoven handled the violin awkwardly and preferred playing his own compositions instead of improving his technique. His teacher called him hopeless as a composer. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor for lack of ideas. He went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. Thomas Edison's teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. Albert Einstein did not speak till he was 4 years old and couldn't read until he was 7. His teacher described him as mentally slow, unsociable, adrift forever in his foolish dreams. He was expelled and refused admittance to the Zurich Polytechnic School. F.W. Woolworth's employers at the dry goods store where he worked said he didn't have enough sense to wait on customers. Must have got over that. Henry Ford failed and went broke 5 times before he finally succeeded. Winston Churchill, he failed the 6th grade. He didn't become Prime Minister of England until he was 62, only after a lifetime of setbacks and failures. There's many more examples, which we could go on and on. In fact, I could add another one, Colonel Sanders. I don't know how they kept track of it, but his Kentucky Fried recipe was refused 1,009 times. Whew. Talk about somebody that stayed at it. He was convinced that recipe was good. He was 6 years old when his father passed away. He had a brother and sister he had to care for and cook for. That's where he learned to cook. His mother had to go on off to the factory and work. And he was home. He had to take care of his brother and sister, and that's where he learned to cook. That's how he came to make his recipes for the Kentucky Fried Chicken. All right. God isn't surprised by our failures. He expects it because he knows who we are. In fact, there's a scripture verse I referenced there in the book of Psalms 103, 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We saw it in our last study last week. The disciples had failed to stay awake and watch and pray with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus' conclusion was this: the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26 and 41. You see, God knows our propensity to fail, and so he understands our requests. The famous Scottish preacher, Alexander White, describes spiritual growth like this. Spiritual growth is a saint's falling down and getting up, falling down and getting up, falling down and getting up all the way to heaven. So if you're like me, you can certainly identify with that. As we say, we all had an apple out of that bag, didn't we? So then we need to face the reason for failure. Why does God allow failure in our life? What good purpose does it serve? Well, we need to remember that when every time you fall, you brush yourself off and get up, don't you? Get up and start again. You know what blessed my heart is? I think it was a challenged Olympic run, and a couple of them had fallen. And the ones that were ahead or the behind, they stopped. And they picked them up, and they took them through the finish line. Man, that spoke to my heart. They didn't worry about their own success. Instead, they helped the one that had fallen, and they helped them through to the finish line. That's what we need to do. We fail now so that we may succeed later. Affliction is for now. Glory is for the future. And so the Bible tells us if we're going to reign with the Lord, we have to also suffer with him as well. Romans 8 and 17. Glory is best appreciated by those who have first experienced the lack of it. Secondly, we fail in the incidental so that we might succeed in the importance. Paul talked about light affliction and weight of glory. Things that happen to us now in light of eternity are not as heavy as we may think. Thirdly, we fail in the temporary so we might succeed in the eternal. Paul talked about that, which is for the moment. And he contrasted with that which is eternal. Our failures in time prepare us for success in eternity. And fourthly, we fail outwardly so that we might succeed inwardly. You see, God doesn't see things as we do. Stevie talked about it in the Sunday school lesson. God looks at the heart. We look at the outside. We seem to be more interested in the outside, but God's more interested in the inside. God cares far less about our outward than he does about our inward. He works at us and transforms us in the inward. We get so wrapped up in the things we do outside. You see, God's focused on who we are. Our goal is to learn to focus on the unseen, not the seen things, just as God does. Failure helps us to do that. Peter Marshall said it better. It is better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. Even though our earthen vessels may fail, the treasure we carry them will not. And then facing the result of failure. This is a good verse. Verse 16, we do not lose heart. Why don't we? Because in spite of all the failure we experience year after year in our lives, the inward man is being renewed day by day. On a daily basis, God is transforming our inner man. We don't put our emphasis or priority on succeeding in the outward realm because the world is perishing. It is the inner man, the inward world that God is refreshing and renewing day by day. And then we fight the giant of failure. We need to first face him, and then we fight him. How do we do that? Well, the first thing we need to do is acknowledge your failure. When you have a failure, learn to profit from it. I like what one brother said. He wanted to be a hero. He ended up being a zero. I'm going to learn that. I'm going to keep that and use that. Don't worry about being a hero, and don't worry about being a zero. You're the apple of God's eye. That's all that matters. You're the apple of his eye. Learn from those experiences. Learn from those failures. Profit from it. That's where it begins. Former President Harry Truman knew how to honestly evaluate things, even in his own life. When he was asked if he was popular as a child in school, he replied, "No, I was never popular. The popular boys were the ones who were good at games and had big fists. I was never like them. Without my glasses, I was as blind as a bat. And to tell the truth, I guess I was kind of a sissy. If there was any chance of getting into a fight, I took off. I guess that's why I'm here today." In modern language, he failed at being popular, but he wasn't afraid to admit it. Sometimes we hesitate to admit our failure because we think of it like confessing sin. All sin is a failure of some sort, but not all failure is sin. So don't be afraid to admit it when you fail. Secondly, you need to accept God's forgiveness. If our failure is due to sin, the only way to overcome it is to confess it to God, and we can receive his forgiveness. It's a very clear testimony in Scripture. God is a forgiving God. He doesn't condone our sinful failures, but neither does he hold them against us. If we want to be forgiven for them, just simply ask. Thirdly, apply the lessons of failure. Learn to apply them. We should never accept failure as the final judgment or the assessment of our potential. If we did that, we'd never move beyond our first failure. We need to learn to use failure as a resource, as an opportunity. An assistant to Thomas Edison tried to console him after a string of failed experiments had produced no results. "Oh, we have lots of results," Edison said. "We know 700 things that won't work." John Keats, an English author, once wrote, "Failure is a sense the highway is success, in so much as every discovery of what's false leads us to seek earnestly after what is true. And every fresh experience points out some form of error, which we shall afterward carefully avoid." That's good. And then we need to accept failure as a fact of life. That's what we say, get used to it. Get used to it. Get used to it, because you're going to fail again. There'll be things you're going to fail at. It's just the way life is. Accept it as a fact of life, but it don't have to be a way of life. That makes a difference. It don't have to be a way of life. Failure is an event, not a person. Failure is something that happens, not someone you become. We carelessly use the phrase, "I'm a failure," but so frequently that we begin to believe it. A person can have hundreds and hundreds of failures in his life and still be a success. If he allows just a few failures to overcome him, he could be on the road to characterizing himself as a failure. Think about Peter's failure with the Lord Jesus on the night of his arrest. And then I want you to think about his great preaching message, that fiery message on the day of Pentecost. The book of Acts is opening. Peter failed, but Peter wasn't a failure. And then arise from failure. Start again. We talked about that. Get up, brush yourself off, and start again. The temptation when we fail is to wallow in self-pity or to sulk or to feel sorry for ourselves, a sure sign of the influence of that giant of failure. But the best thing you can do is stand up, brush yourself off, and start moving again. One of my favorite characters in Scripture is Jonah. Now, you know his story, how God told him to go one way, east to Nineveh. And instead, he went the opposite way, west towards Spain. Jonah failed miserably in his role and his responsibility as a prophet. But yet after he came back to the Lord gave him a second chance. And he sent him back to Nineveh to preach. How many people got saved? Do everybody remember? I think I'd forgotten this. 120,000 got saved. Before God, it was one of the greatest responses to the word of God recorded in history. And this is from a man who just a short time previously had failed miserably. Wow. Almost finished. Sometimes when you try to start over, people will say, you're a failure. But that's the enemy talking, and don't listen. You listen to God who wants you to succeed. And if you're right with him, he'll be right with you. Lastly, avoid judging failures in others. Remember what Jesus said. It's not in here, but I remember what he said. He said, don't you worry about the splinter in your brother's eye. Worry about the plank that's in yours. As others might judge us, we might be on guard against judging others as a failure. So we're going to close this message by looking at two examples who were judged by others as failures, but whom God saw as a success. Our first example is the rich man and the beggar. In Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus reveals two opposite individuals. Outwardly, the rich man was a success and Lazarus was a failure. But God's perspective was the opposite. The rich man ended up in agony and Lazarus ended up being comforted in paradise. If we had seen the two before knowing God's evaluation, would we have been quick to judge as well? God's values are often very different than ours. And our other example is a Pharisee and a tax collector. In Luke chapter 18, we have the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You see, the Pharisee was the epitome of success within first century Judaism. The tax collector, one of the most despised men in town. But when they went to the temple to pray, their true success and failure became obvious. The Pharisee was proud and arrogant. The tax collector was humble and repentant. Which would we have chosen as a success or which the failure? You see, these stories warn us to beware of judging others who appear to us to be failures. The man whom from the world's point of view was a great failure turned out to be the man that God exalted and honored by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand of the throne of God. So don't fall into the trap of thinking you are a failure when you fail. Defeat the giant of failure by striving to receive Jesus' final words about your life. Well done, good and faithful servant. Time to go home. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, what a privilege and what a joy it's been today. We've sang, we've prayed, we've read your scripture. And Lord, you spoke to our hearts today. Thank you for your precious word. So grateful to have the word. So grateful to have so many copies in my home. I pray for these who have no copies. I pray they'll be able to get a copy of your word. I pray they'll be able to see your word and read it, and come to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray for those of you who might be listening by way of internet. I pray that this message spoke to your heart, not by chance or circumstance that you came across it, but God wanted to speak to your heart today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Please pause for a moment and invite him to come and live in your life. Confess your sins to him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and invite him to come and live in your heart. And then live for him until he calls us all home. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray, Father, for each and every one, safe traveling mercies to their home. Till we come back again, may, Lord, we be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.